was good to turn it on. Good morning, everyone. How's everyone doing? All right, what a great time of worship. I just felt like one of those songs, too. You know, your kingdom come, your will be done. Jesus, reign over us, over me. And I'm just going to take that as a prayer for us this morning. Because we do want his kingdom to come, his will to be done. Okay. Is that better? Better? Okay. We do want his kingdom to come and his will to be done. But do we want him to reign over us? That's definitely a key for that to take place. Not that God is limited by anything, but that's the way he's chosen to do things. I just thought today just feels like, is it just me, or it just feels like this is a right moment this morning. And when I mean a right moment for God to really download something important, really essential for us to hear as a church. And I think really every moment can be the right moment. It really depends on us and whether our hearts are open to what the Lord has to say and what the Holy Spirit wants to speak into our lives, because he loves us with such an amazing love. But he's all about seeing us fulfill the things that he has, the destiny, the plans, and the purpose that he has for us. He's about us growing and maturing. That's the kind of loving dad, loving God that he is. And that's sort of about what I'm going to speak about today. But I don't know if this slide is up. But this is part 6 in a series of partners in the gospel, and my title this morning is called The Fear of the Lord, which comes out of a great love for him. But before getting into that, I just thought it would be good to preface that with, I guess, my journey, my story, because I can only really speak out of that which God is revealing to me. That's a safer place to be in than to start to delve into something I don't really truly understand. So just a journey of, you know, it's been a journey of a lifetime, really. But in particular, over the last 18, 24 or so months, maybe more than that, it just seems, you know, there's been another bump in the road, another hoop or something, another obstacle that's appeared in my life. And really, I think it's evident in probably a lot of your lives. And it's in the beginning of, you know, the night, 2008, 2009, the beginning of the recession. And as most of you know, yes, I'm a pastor here in the church, but I also work full time, and I have a business, a small business, out in Ajax, which I've had, I don't know, 12 or so years, maybe more than that. Now it's more than that, 18, 20 maybe. But ooh, time flies. But so I'm just saying that, just so you know. Some of you maybe don't know that context, and so a lot of what I would share would really make sense if you think that I'm just a pastor here. But yeah, I do worry, being a business person as well, being that's sort of the trade that the Lord has given me to look after me and my family. But it's hard not to have gone through the last few years and not been affected somehow. And particularly in our business, we export most of our products to the United States. So the fact that we have a very high Canadian dollar, and the fact that the U.S. is in a deeper recession than we are, has not been a help as far as business is concerned. But the thing is that I know that many of you, you've all gone through all sorts of difficulties. We've had times in the church over the last few years, you know, where we've been praying. And we prayed for one another. We prayed for jobs. We prayed for better jobs. We prayed for contracts, because we know that's the reality of where we live. And to discount that would be really foolish. And so I've always valued your prayers. And I've enjoyed praying for you as well in that area. But in the midst of it, of course, we're made of flesh and blood. And we're not perfect. Even though some people think, well, your pastors aren't perfect. No, we're not. And we struggle with the same kind of things that you struggle as well. And so even in the midst of difficulties and trials and errors, it's sometimes hard to keep our eyes always fixed on Jesus. Though we must, but there are times and moments where, the problems of life just become so big that it's hard to see where the end will be. So during the course of this time, and it's been a long time, it's been pretty going on 3 years, it's been tough, and so you do the things that you have to do. You cut back where you have to cut back. Keep your overheads down. But I can remember exactly a year ago at this time, in December, and I was thinking, I wasn't quite sure what I was going to do in this year in 2011, because it had gotten to a point where there was basically nothing left. No contracts coming in, of course, when you've got nothing coming in and just stuff going out, once that gets expired, you start thinking, now, what's next? And I remember thinking last year at this time, what am I going to be doing? What am I going to have to do? And, of course, you make contingency plans. You think of things that you can do. So you think of, we could sell a house. That wouldn't be the end of the world. We could downsize. We could do all sorts of things. And those are just practical things. And it's good to evaluate what those things are. But yet, in the midst of it, I still, in my heart, knew that God was in this. It's just, when you're going through something that's hard and difficult, it's not the most enjoyable time of your life. But yet, I knew that God was stretching me. That in the stretching and in the difficulty, God uses those things to draw us closer to Him. And I had to always bring myself back to get my feet on the ground, because it's so easy to let your emotions get caught up with you. I think I'm always kind of telling that to my daughter and my wife, since most of us men are not quite as emotional. And so sometimes you just have to guard your emotions. And I'm not trying to invalidate the emotions that my lovely daughter and my wife has. I mean, it's important to not hide those things. That's not what I'm saying. But for me, it was just not getting caught up in the moment and just realizing again, God is with me. I mean, if God's with me, who can be against me? That's what Scripture says. But yet you have moments where you begin to not doubt, but you're just wondering, Lord, when will it finish? There's a lot of good things. I mean, I learned how to pray more effective type prayers, instead of praying very kind of, I call them wimpy prayers of, God, please, would you help me? God has given us, His word says that in His word He's given us everything that we need. And so I began to learn that it's wonderful actually to declare Scripture, to speak God's truth and God's promises out, because that's why He's given us those things, to strengthen us and to build us up. And also so that we're not standing on just empty air, but we're standing on something of substance, which is His word. And in the end, His word is really all that counts. Everything else that we put value on really doesn't amount to anything. So there's good things that have come out of it. My prayer life has certainly picked up, and hopefully, again, it's something that it just doesn't pick up at the time when we're crying out for more of God or because we're in difficulty. But it's something that we learn, that a prayerful life is a normal life, and it's a life too that we should encourage in one another and have all the time. But yet, again, in the midst of it, again, you've heard this before, whenever you're in times of difficulty or stress, two things either happen. It either draws you closer to God, or, depending on if you choose not to go that route, it basically pushes you away because you're in a state of, again, not knowing, not seeing the forest for the trees, not seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. But again, I have to keep on realizing, you know, how blessed I am. And I try to be purposeful and intentional in my prayers and always thank God, you know, that I'm blessed. Realize again, not so much what I don't have, because that's so often what we do, but to understand what it is that we do have. And I've just over the last few years just continued to always thank God, you know, that He's blessed me as a husband. He's blessed me as a father with two incredible children and an awesome wife. You know, He's reminding me that there was a time in my life when I didn't think I would be married, that I didn't think I'd have children. And it was a serious concern that I had. And yet God in His love, you know, gave me more than I could imagine. And so it's good to be intentional and to remember how blessed that we are in those times. And again, I don't want to come across as somehow complaining, because I try not to. I know many of you in the course of the past years have been really great. You've said, how is business and whatnot? And most of the time I've said there hasn't been any substantial changes, but God is good. And I know that He's actually working things out in me. I've realized that the easiest thing for God is to provide things, stuff. He can do that in the flick of a finger. But realizing what's more precious to Him is our growth, is our character. That's what He's working on. And so these times that we find so stressful, but if we see them in the light of a God who loves us, who desires us, who has so much more than what we're actually doing, we begin to trust in Him, even though we don't totally understand what it is that's going on. But I realize that God is more on about it. And so I would generally share with those who asked, you know, I realize that God is working on my character. He's working on all of our characters. Why? Because He has bigger stuff for us to do, more exciting things that we can imagine. And in order for us to be able to receive that and actually to walk it through, there's a work that needs to be done in us. And our character needs to be prepared to do that. Otherwise, we would not be able to do that. And then one morning, you know, a lot of times I get to the office a little bit earlier, and I use that time as a time to spend in my Word, in the Word of God. Not my Word, the Word of God. And, is that too close? Still too close. Is that better? And, you know, I usually have a pattern. I'm going through a certain book or books. But I just felt that morning not to do that. I just felt, you know, again, sometimes you just have a feeling. That's a prompting of the Holy Spirit. It's always good to be able to recognize that. But I just had a feeling that the Lord was drawing me to the book of Psalms. So I started going through the book of Psalms because He didn't say where exactly. But sometimes it's good to just go with the first thing that He says, which is just go there. So I just started going through the book of Psalms. As I began to open the book of Psalms, I felt the Lord lead me to Psalm 112. And so I opened up that book. And in verse 1, take some water. You know, God knows exactly what we need. He knows when we need it. He knows how much we need it. In verse 1, I began to read, "Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who finds great delight in His commands." And then I just continued reading, "His children will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed." And I just read the whole thing, and my heart was just leaping.
with joy. Because this is exactly what I needed to hear. And I went back to the first verse and I looked at it and it says, blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who finds great delight in His command. And I was just so excited when I read that. You know, because I said, Lord, I want to take great delights in Your command. And I just saw and it just came out and it just said, blessed is the man, blessed is the woman, blessed is the child who fears the Lord. You know, I'd read other scriptures, the Psalms are full of instances where it calls, God is calling His people to fear the Lord. And I'd read it, but I suddenly understand, I don't know that I understood what that meant. But yet in the reading of it, I realized that there was something the Spirit of God was trying to highlight in my life. The fear of the Lord. And so I immediately started to Google and Bible Gateway myself onto fear of the Lord. Because I realized I didn't understand what it meant. What is the fear of the Lord, really? And I just thought there's just something significant about this. Something that occurs that often in the Bible, as you know, something to be noticed, something to pay attention to, something to meditate on, something to find out what it means. And I realized, not just in my life, but I think in this culture that we live in, we don't hear about a lot about the fear of the Lord. But yet there's something that the Word of God has placed it there for us that's important for us to know. I think that we've missed out somehow on what this fear of the Lord is. We've led ourselves, I think, almost astray by not acknowledging or understanding everything about who God is, because that's what the fear of the Lord is about. It's about understanding who He is. We can't fear Him if we don't understand who He is. As Mark mentioned a couple of weeks ago, in our postmodern culture, you know, it's almost as if we're entering a supermarket as we go down the pages of our Bible. And we handpick the truths that make us feel good. Or else we shuffle off over to the, you know, to the takeout counter of truth. And we grab a ready-made meal instead of taking time to eat the very bread of life. Jesus said He was the bread of life ourselves, and chewing and taking it in and meditating it and digesting it in our hearts and minds and allowing that truth to change us and transform us. I read this as I was kind of doing a study on the fear of the Lord, and this person said, we aren't afraid of God. We aren't afraid of Jesus. We aren't afraid of the Holy Spirit. And he's speaking about the church. He says, as a result, we've ended up with a need-centered gospel that attracts thousands but transforms no one. And isn't that the simple truth? See, I believe, and I'm not coming to you trying to give you the full understanding of what the fear of the Lord is, but I believe, because I'm on this journey trying to discover, and I want to encourage you to begin to understand what that means, because I believe it's so important to understand what it is. In Gill's Expository, which is a Bible commentary, he says, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, not men, but the Lord, not his wrath, nor his judgments here or hereafter, but his goodness, not with a servile, but with a godly fear. And then he goes on to say about those that have learned to fear the Lord. He says that he calls them, these are happy men. He says they have an interest in the heart of God. And I believe in order to understand
the fear of the Lord, that's where it has to begin. It has to begin with an interest in the fear of God. What is the fear of God? Well, I think, again, as we just read, it's about knowing God's goodness. It's about knowing His love. And you've heard about the X factor, and I kind of call it, but it's the awe factor. It's about understanding and knowing the awesomeness of whose God is. And then once we found that place, then accepting Him as our Lord, because we need to take that step. It's not just knowing Him in our minds, but it needs to be something that delves deep in our hearts. And it comes to a point where we need to accept Him as Lord. And accept Him as Lord, Lord in everything. And when I said we sang that song this morning about Your kingdom come, Your will be done, Jesus reign, I think you can only do that once we've come to a point of understanding who the Lord is. And the word fear is an interesting word in the Bible because it describes both fear and terror, but also a reverence and an awe for God. And that's true of both the Hebrew and the Greek. But there's something about the tension that is between those two things. Fear, terror, and reverential awe of God. And they actually work really well together. And they work together because in understanding who God is and why He does what He does helps us to have both this healthy fear of the Lord that and this healthy awe, this just revelation of just how awesome He actually is. And I was trying to remember, and it might be unique to all of us, I know, because we've all grown up in different kinds of households, but I remember growing up for my brother and I, this was before my younger sister was born, but you know, we knew very well the things that we were not allowed to do. And we knew that, you know, if we somehow did something, if we spoke to my mother in a certain kind of way or did something that we weren't supposed to, that when Dad got home after work, you know, there'd be trouble. You know, Music Man said there'd be trouble in River City. And, usually a hand or something. But we knew, and you come to learn that it's actually better not to do those things than to actually do them because of the consequences. And very often that's just one side of fear that we see, but because my dad was very busy and spent an amazing amount of time working and providing, doing things that in his generation were things that fathers felt was their primary thing sometimes, was to be a provider. I didn't really get to know my dad, and it wasn't later on in life when I started actually working with him that I actually got to work with him. And I got to actually know him in a personal kind of way, if you know what I mean. And I saw the opportunities that he gave me that sometimes when I look back, I'm amazed that he would entrust so much responsibility on me. And he let me, you know, I had dreams and I said, Dad, you know, I think we should do this. We were in a construction company. And he would just kind of listen to me and he's, you know, I guess I sounded convincing maybe. I don't know. Maybe I thought I sounded convincing. But he would say, okay, sure, try. And we try. And the nice thing is that I learned a lot and not everything that I tried succeeded. Most did, but some didn't. But I learned something about my dad that I'd never seen before. And I saw the way he interacted with people and the respect that he had, not just with his employees, but in his industry. And there's just another side that I got to see him. So, and that to me became, as I started to think about this fear of the Lord, it was a picture that helped me to see
how we need to see God. You see, in the beginning as a child, you know, it was the fear of being spanked that kept me from doing things. But later on, I actually saw where my dad was coming. You see, everything he did was for my good. You see, everything the Lord does for us is for our good, even when he disciplines us. And so when we begin to understand the heart of God, the heart of the Father that he has for us, you see, we can play these two things in tension. This fear of, well, I know that if I go astray, I might get smacked. But yet, what causes me to walk in obedience is not so much that, but it's because I've captured his heart. You see, he knows what's best for you. And so he's outlined that in his word. And he knows that if we're faithful to that, that we'll be on the right track, that we'll receive the blessing. And so out of that is this fear of God that is both this, it's this reverence, it's this awe of who he is that helps me know the heart of my heavenly Father and helps me walk in faithfulness and obedience to him. You know, and how do we learn this fear? Well, this fear in Psalm 34, it says, come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. The Lord will teach you that. He says, come to me. You notice he's said that often in the Bible. I think more often than we actually read it, where he says, here, come. Come to me. Come follow me. And I'm sure it's more often because the Bible says there's many things, enough that would cover the libraries of the world and even more so that aren't set. And I just thank God because he's calling us, he's called billions and billions in the same way. And he says, come, come, my child. You want to know about this? I'll teach you about that. You want to know about the fear of the Lord? He says, come to me, come to me. He's calling us. It's a coming of intimacy. And that's why I've prefaced this as the fear of the Lord, but that comes out of a great love, out of a great love for him. Because I think that's in the end what it is. If it's just that terror is going to get us cowering behind something. And that's not where God wants us to be. And we are, after all, we're children of God. It's not we're unbelievers. The wrath of God is not what we need to fear so much in that sense. But the Lord says, come to me. And I believe that it's out of that revelation. You know, the benefits that God has in his word to fear him are incredible. You can jot some of these down and write them. You know, Psalm 25:12 says, who then are those who fear the Lord? He said, he will instruct them in the ways that they should choose. I mean, if we don't know where we're going or what we should do, the Lord is saying, the key is the fear of the Lord. It's almost like a foundation. And it needs to be, I believe the fear of the Lord is something the Lord uses to grow us and to mature us. In Psalm 25:14, it says, the Lord confides in those who fear him. He makes his covenant known to them. I don't know about you, but I want to be there. Psalm 33:18 says, but the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those who hope in his unfailing love. Someone here gave me a prophetic picture today, which falls into a Psalm 34. It says, the angels, or the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Psalm 34:9 says, fear the Lord, you his holy people, for those who fear him lack nothing. Now, that's either true or it's not true, right? It can't be halfway. So to fear the Lord, this is a pretty amazing revelation. It's a pretty amazing truth that we need to live and learn in our lives. It says, those who fear the Lord will not lack nothing. You who fear him, trust in the Lord. This is Psalm 115:11. He is their help and shield. And then 128, Psalm 128:1. Blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in obedience to him. We know Proverbs, or how does the fear of the Lord change and transform us? Well, Proverbs 1:7, we know this well in 9:10. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And then Proverbs 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning. So the way I read that is you can't have wisdom and you can't have knowledge unless you have the fear of the Lord. Because that, it says here, is the beginning of that. The fear of the Lord, it says, adds length to life. But the years of the wicked are cut short. Proverbs 14:27, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, turning a person from the snares of death. And Proverbs 19:23 says, the fear of the Lord leads to life. Then one rests content, untouched by trouble. I just want to encourage you in your own time to read some of those scriptures. You know, if you did not jot them down, just go to Bible Gateway, just type up fear of the Lord and just read that. It's powerful. I think it's a word for this church. I think it's a word for the church today. Somehow I think we've lost this fear of the Lord, which is so important. I'm going way over my time. I believe the Lord really wants us to understand this truth. And then he says, come to him. I want to learn about that. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of growing and maturing in all the things that God has for us. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of knowledge. It's the beginning of many things. I believe it's a key to help us live the life that God has called us to live. When we don't know what to do, we need to understand it's the fear of the Lord we need in our lives. Too often, even the church, I'm not even talking about the world, even the church, we've done so many things that we've thought of great ideas, and we've just been drifting from God. It's not about great ideas, it's about following God's ideas. We don't need great ideas in ourselves. Not that God, I understand, not that God doesn't download these things in our hearts. But if we're going to see his kingdom established, and if we're going to partner with him in the gospel, because this is what this series is about, then we need to understand who he is, and we need to fully submit ourselves to him. We have to stop just going around and doing what we want to do. We have to realize that, again, this is not an impositional thing. This is just the right way to do it. This is the right way that brings success. This is the right way that brings prosperity and life and love into the church and into our relationships and ultimately into our impact, into partnering with gospel. God has a plan. We need to just know where we fit in that plan. And I'll just end it this way. You know, I know many of you, have taken photographs of you and your family for the Christmas, and you're getting ready. You're going to send that off to people. You know, there's dad and mom and the kids on the side. And I remember I just saw recently, as we were cleaning up things from 6 years ago at the house, there was a picture of the Dubois clan, which is Janine's paternal side of the family. And there was grandfather and good Catholic family, 10 siblings and about 40, 50 kids all spread out on this lawn. But it was a wonderful picture, and I want you to keep that picture. Every person there knew where they should be. And that's the key in the family of God. We need to know where we ought to be. Our role is not to try to be God or try to make decisions for God, or try to interpret what we think God wants us to do. Ours is to know where we are in the family of God. Know that Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, is seated in heavenly places. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. And he has a plan, and he knows exactly how to fill it out. And if we can see ourselves surrounded around that throne, it doesn't diminish who we are. It simply reveals the nature of the awesomeness of who God is and who we are in this family of God, and that we find our place and that we're comfortable in our place. We're comfortable in our skin. And when the Father or when our Lord Jesus Christ tells us what to do, we're there, and we're there to listen to what he says. We're there to listen to his plans for advancing his kingdom. We're listening to his plans for spreading his word, the good news, the message of Jesus Christ. But it's in that place. Do you see that place is a place where we've come to that place of fearing, the fear of the Lord. It's not a terror, but it's a comfortable place because it's a recognition of who he is and who we are. We're not God, but we are part of his family and we are precious in his sight. But we will only know that if we submit to him. And as we do that, then the fear of the Lord begins to move and we grow and we mature. And as we grow and mature, of course, wisdom will increase, knowledge will increase. The things that we need to know that God has called us to do will become highlighted in advance because we've put ourselves, we've found ourselves in this wonderful family of God, not trying to play a role that we're not called to play. Let him be the king. Let his kingdom come. Let his will be done. And let him reign in our lives. Amen? Amen. I've just asked the musicians to come up and just a song that came to my heart this morning, or actually last night. 2 days are a little bit blurred. But I think the song really, we've sung it before, it really speaks, again, just about the awesomeness of God is. And so I just want to ask you to stand this morning. And as we do that, let's just let what God has downloaded this morning, let us just marvel at the awesomeness of who our God is. And let's sing it from the deepest places of our hearts. And let's encourage one another as we grow in the fear of the Lord. Amen.